Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our strength and our protector. Amen. Si ahamba eka nyeni kwekos, si ahamba eka nyeni kwekos. Shortly after the festivities at the Park Theater began, a chorus made up of children from Jaffrey Ringe Combined Grade Schools stood up and turned around to face the crowd and sang this traditional African spiritual. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. A smile took over my face. I couldn't have controlled it if I wanted to. Owen, who was sitting next to me, was beaming. And of course, everyone was fairly overflowing with pleasure. All the parents were busy taking videos with their phones. The whole place was awash with a great swell of pride and pure delight. Children singing. Is there anything finer than this? As I surveyed the children, I was, of course, enchanted by their beauty. A beauty that is not only because of their unaccountably smooth skin or the brightness of their eyes. When we look at them, we are aware of their innocence and their potential. Their whole lives stretch out before them, a great uncharted landscape of wonder and possibility. In their purity, they seem sacred. And this makes us want to protect them, shield them from all the pain and suffering of the world. I looked over and I noticed that the keynote speaker for the evening, Aaron Mayer, was standing in the aisle making a video of his own on his cell phone. Everyone was getting into the act. I promised you last Sunday that I would preach this Sunday about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I suppose you can see from the fact that the great man's august visage is gracing the cover of our bulletin that I intend to follow through on that promise. But before we do this, I want to let the Apostle Paul have the floor for a moment just to set the tone. In the passage from the first letter to the Corinthians that Dorothy just read for us, the Apostle makes a direct appeal to the members of the ecclesia in Corinth, one of the first communities to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. In his letter, he wrote, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose." Paul's advice is not hard to figure out. All of you be in agreement, he says. Let there be no divisions among you. Be knit together in the same mind and same purpose. Paul is asking for unity. He has heard rumors that there are factions in the church. By the sound of it, some people have been claiming authority or preference because they were baptized by different people, by Apollos or by Cephas. There's even a faction that seems to follow Paul himself. This sounds eerily familiar, doesn't it? It sounds kind of like the immature vying for power that happens in a high school, for example, or perhaps the House of Representatives. Paul, like you and I, knows how fatal such contention can be to a community. If we were to translate his sentiment into the language of present day, Paul might sound a bit like a tired gym teacher trying to wrangle a gaggle of squirmy young kids. Come on, guys. Settle down. Let's get it together. But what exactly is Paul really asking of us? Unity is not as easy as just saying, come on, guys. Because when a leader asks for unity, that leader is asking for all of us to agree. If you don't agree with what is being proposed, then you are not going to fall in line, are you? I will gladly agree to be part of a community dedicated to feeding people or housing the homeless, but I will not agree to join the Nazi Party or the Ku Klux Klan. If the Klan asked me to join, I would assert my right to not agree. I have always, from the tenderest age, jealously guarded my right to disagree. When I disagree, I assert my free will, the solemn and sacred right that I have as a human creature to choose for myself the course of action that most fulfills my sense of purpose and meaning. If this choice to agree or disagree were taken away from me, I would find myself in the most insufferable predicament a human can find themselves in. I would be imprisoned in someone else's destiny instead of my own. I would no longer be free. So it is not enough for the Apostle Paul, or anyone else for that matter, even Jesus, to say, come on, guys, and expect us all to be obedient and fall in line. I reserve the sacred right to disagree. If you want me to agree, you have to convince me. Your appeal must resonate with my spirit, the part of me that recognizes what is right and what is good. I think it is fair to say that Aaron Mayer, the keynote speaker at the MLK event on Monday, he could have mentioned Dr. King a few more times during the speech than he did. To be sure, what he did talk about was extremely informative, incredibly important. But other than a few rhetorical flourishes, he seemed to have forgotten to whom the event itself was dedicated. Early on, though, he did make one comment that stitched the proceedings back to the civil rights movement. It's inspiring to hear the children's voices raised in song, he said. And as we listen to them, it is worth remembering that little black children who were the same age as this were blasted with fire hoses. On May 2nd, 1963, thousands of black children left their schools and congregated in the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. The children left the church and walked two abreast in a long line toward the Birmingham Town Hall. Approximately 5,000 school children walking and singing together. The authorities responded by making mass arrests. The students, trained in nonviolence, filed quietly into school buses that were brought in to transport them to the jails. And all of the available cells quickly filled beyond capacity, and the overflow were detained in a local fairground. Eventually, the children were released, but they repeated the same march the next day. And this time, the authorities, in frustration, met them with police dogs and high-pressure fire hoses. Media coverage of the children's march brought the fight against segregation into the living rooms of everyone onto a national stage on TV. Viewers were confronted with images of dogs attacking children, of high-pressure hoses beating them up against the walls. It was a pivotal moment in the civil rights movement. The narrative shifted. Segregation was no longer just a social problem that was happening somewhere else. It was now a moral outrage that called into question the soul of the nation. Could America stand by and watch as police dogs were intentionally set upon defenseless schoolchildren? No, they couldn't. Americans of European descent had been quietly benefiting from a system that protected their well-being, their power, their comfort. It was a system that they could easily agree with. But this? Snarling dogs lunging at children? They could not agree with this. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in December of 1964. And in his acceptance speech, he said, "Civilization and violence are antithetical concepts. We cannot call our society civilized if, in an effort to protect its order, we are willing to set attack dogs on innocent schoolchildren. This is quite clear." In his Nobel speech, Dr. King, a consummate Baptist preacher, used a classic black preacher technique, the repeated refrain. "I refuse," he said. I have included on the back of the bulletin this quote, this long quote that I am about to read from his acceptance speech. "I accept this award today with an abiding faith in America and an audacious faith in the future of mankind," he said. "I refuse to accept despair as the final response to the ambiguities of history. I refuse to accept the idea that the isness of man's present nature makes him morally incapable of reaching up for the eternal oughtness that forever confronts him. I refuse to accept the idea that man is mere flotsam and jetsam in the river of life, unable to influence the unfolding events which surround him. I refuse to accept the view that man is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down a militaristic stairway into the hell of thermonuclear destruction. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil, triumphant. I believe that even amid today's mortar bursts and whining bullets, there is still hope for a brighter tomorrow. I believe that wounded justice lying prostrate on the blood-flowing streets of our nation can be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men." I began my sermon this morning with the description of children standing up and raising their voices in song. A big group of healthy, sweet children of all different races and sizes and colors and shapes standing together and singing proudly for the great gathering of their loved ones. This is more than just a happy moment. This is civilization. This is the vision that Dr. King sought. I hear again the voice of the Apostle Paul, and with this vision in mind, I say, yes, I am convinced. When I see children of all colors and shapes and sizes singing together, I have something deep and powerful to agree with. Let us pray. Dear God, give us strength. Give us unity in our refusal to accept a society that depends for its survival on the use of violence. When we refuse to accept violence, we march into your light. When we disagree in this way, we agree with something greater. To disagree with dogs attacking children is to agree with children singing together. Give us eyes to see this, God, to see what we have achieved. We are not perfect, but our children are singing together. This is what it means to be civilized. In this, let there be no divisions among us. In this effort, let us be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose, now and evermore. Amen.